Can you give us an example which would help illustrate your points?
I'm aware of one case where a man, who we will call John, created an enduring power of attorney. When he signed it, he appointed his sister and one of his nephews to be his attorneys. Both were a good deal younger than he was, and he was very happy that they would become entitled to look after him if necessary. Unfortunately for John, as he got older, he developed dementia, and his enduring power of attorney had to be activated. The two nominated attorneys took charge of his affairs, and everything was working as John had anticipated it would. Sometime after the enduring power was activated, John's nephew died suddenly. That meant that John's sister was left looking after his affairs on her own. There was no difficulty with that, and she continued to manage his affairs on his behalf. What could not have been foreseen, though, was that she also died suddenly some months later, leaving John without any attorneys. This left a very complicated situation, as there was no way an additional attorney could then be appointed, as John no longer had the necessary mental capacity to do that. This resulted in him having to be made a ward of court, which created a great deal of additional complication and expense. Once the issue of the appointment of the attorneys and what entitlements they are to have has been decided, the other main formality is the appointment of notus partes. The regulations provide that a minimum of two people must be notified of the fact that an enduring power of attorney has been completed. Your attorneys cannot also be your notus partes. The purpose of this provision is so that if the notice parties believe that the donor is already incapable of signing the enduring power of attorney at the date it was signed, or if they feel it has been signed under duress and that the proposed attorney is an unsuitable person, they can object. This is a safety net for the donor and ensures that there are other people involved in the process who can speak up for the donor if necessary. Once the enduring power of attorney is signed, the nominated notice parties will receive a formal notification by registered post, setting out the details of when the enduring power of attorney was signed and who has been appointed as the attorneys. There is a specific requirement under the enduring power of attorney regulations which sets out the order of persons who must be notified. For example, if you are married or in a civil partnership and are not appointing your spouse or civil partner as your attorney, they must be one of the notice parties. If the donor is unmarried, widowed or separated, but they have a child or children, at least one of their children must be a notice party. If the donor has no spouse or civil partner and no children, the notice parties must include at least one relative, for example, a parent, sibling, grandchild, niece, or nephew. This again is an important point and one which needs to be considered carefully.